And welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show, where we keep it in the family. We have the former head coach, Big East champion head coach of the Villanova Wildcats, and now CBS Sports color analyst, Mr. Steve Lapis, back on the Greg Herenda Show. Steve, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Greg.
I'll tell you one thing. Magic happens so very often in life, but let the truth be known, and we've talked about this on air and off the air. Steve, when did you find out you were going to Salt Lake City and doing that? I don't know how CBS sets it up. Are you allowed to give us the inside word on how you got that site and when you got that site?
Yeah, I mean, basically what they do is once the bracket is out, they all huddle up in a meeting with Turner, because Turner is obviously part of it.
Sure.
And they basically decide first where they want Jim Nance and Raftery and Grant Hill to go.
Gotcha.
And then they kind of work down from there.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we ended up at a great site. So we found out at like 10 o'clock at night on Sunday night.
So you found out at Sunday night, after we already knew we were going to Salt Lake if we won in Dayton.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Now, did you I'm sorry.
The truth is,
yes,
they even called me that night, CBS, and they said, hey, are you okay calling your son's game? I said, well, first of all, I called the game in Dayton a couple of years ago.
Right.
That was a fluke, too. So it's just, you know, imagine that. All these regions, you got eight regions, and we end up in the same place. It's unbelievable.
You can't make it up. And so did you, like, I was going crazy that whole, like, from Sunday to at night. But you must have, did you call Pete right away and let him know, hey, I've got you if you win? Did that happen instantaneously?
It happened right away. Yeah, no doubt about it. We texted right away. I said, hey, you know what? If you guys win, we're going to be together in Salt Lake City. That would be great. And,
yes,
you know, obviously, you know, you guys had to go win that game, so you never want to jinx something like that. So we didn't talk about it really after that, you know, because, you know, if
sure.
you start talking
no,
about it,
yeah, exactly.
we do it, overdo it, you know, you end up not doing it.
Never,
you
know, never. That's amazing. Then if you back it up to Dayton, and I'm sure you were glued to the TV watching the game in Dayton, we had an incredible crew on that game. How do we get that crew, Steve?
We alternate. It just alternates. There's eight crews between the two networks, and we alternate it. Like Andrew and I did it 2 years ago, and you guys were there 3 years ago. They alternated every year, because truth be told, it's really tough to do games on Tuesday and on four teams.
Yes.
And Thursday, you got four games.
No, so, exactly.
You know, it's not that it's not something you'd like to do. I'd love to do it, but it's a tough thing. That's why they try to rotate it, because the preparation is really tough.
Because we had Reggie Miller, Dan Bonner.
Right.
And the play-by-play was
Kevin Harlan.
I mean, that's a really strong crew. And I was, you know, no knock on you. The last time we were dating, we had you and Joe the bartender on the game. Who else was on the game?
No, Andrew Catalan.
I'm only kidding.
Andrew Catalan was the NFL for
Oh, no.
He's in CBS's world. He's like the,
he's huge.
After Ian Eagle and Jim Nance, he's right there. So he's a rising star.
Andrew Catalan, he's a good. I mean, to put up with you, he's a great guy. No.
Oh, he's a great guy. Yes, he has to put up with me. Game in, and we do like 30 games a year together. So yeah, he's got a lot to put up with.
Steve, when I went to Dayton, and then we'll talk more about Salt Lake. For the night of the game, I wear sweats, and I got my headphones on, and I'm not the most recognizable cat in the house. I walk into the building at Dayton. Out of the media room comes this huge figure, and it's Reggie Miller. Steve, Reggie grabs me by the shoulder, and we walk hip to hip, shoulder to shoulder. You know that runway is forever in Dayton. And I'm like, Reggie, I'm Greg. He goes, I know you who you are, coach. And I know. How's your team? I go, my team's good. I said, I got to let you know, I just told Francesa that we have the Reggie Miller of the NEC. He goes, I want to meet that. Steve, he couldn't have been nicer. He came down, walked into the locker room. found Darnell, had a big embrace, talked to the team. What a class guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I've done a bunch of games with him, and I tell people to be Reggie Miller, one of the greatest players who ever played the
yes.
game. It's so easy to have a humongous ego, you would think.
Right.
And he really had none. You know, we did a game together in San Diego a couple of years ago, and he took everybody out to dinner, even the guys, the youngest guys in the crew that were like 23 years old, they were like gophers. He wanted everybody to come. So he's a great guy.
Really? Now, I still haven't watched 1 second of the Gonzaga. I don't want to watch like most of the Gonzaga game, but I heard that you in particular were very even keeled for both teams. Obviously Gonzaga's great, but there was a piece with you, and our fans out there all know this, so I'm the only one in the I'm Mickey the Dope here. They had pictures of Pete when he was a young – like, how did that all come together? And I heard it was incredible, and it was – you know, I heard from a lot of people. I still have not witnessed it.
I didn't know about it. They got the pictures. Evidently, Andrew Catalan texted with my daughter, Kristen.
I love
and
it.
And that's where they got the pictures. I had no idea they were going to do that. So, you know, yeah, I did see it, obviously, that night on the monitor, and it was a you know really nice thing. It was just, you know, certainly – guys being there was big, and you guys winning in Dayton was huge.
Right.
And then, you know, when you're there with your son, it's just like a, you know, a different deal.
So, oh, my God.
It was a great night. It was a great year for your program and great year for Pete and your family, too, just to be able to do that.
Oh, no. I appreciate that, Steve. And obviously, you know and everyone knows how important Pete is to the program. But getting back to you and Pete, when you're doing that game – are you like when I see Trey do anything that's not in our house, you just have that, you know, the butterflies, you know, you're just nervous for your son. I think that's like, that's human nature. Were you nervous for Pete and for our team playing that night? And how did it affect your performance on air?
You know, I think once the game starts,
right.
I like to think that I'm pretty even keel with everybody, even, you know, you're a friend.
Right.
And, you know, obviously I've known you for years, but we've known each other a lot better in the last few years.
Right.
But, I got to keep it even keel. And I think I did that because, you know, the story's the game. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It all comes
yes.
down to the game. And I don't think anything affects what I think. You know, just watching the game, talking about the game. And,
right.
You know, I knew and you knew going in that's going to be a really, really tough game.
Yes.
Especially with them coming off a loss when they hadn't lost in like 4 months.
Right.
You know, it was. And then you guys leave at Utah 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, it was like the perfect storm.
Oh, my God.
You put it all together and you had to play a team that good. So I try to base what I do on the game, and that's it.
And you do it very, very well. And I like listening to you, Steve, because you're real and you're a coach. And you can almost feel on television when a player has a really bad turnover. A lot of announcers just go on to the next play, but you can't help but to really feel that. It's like, wow, man, that's a bad. Like you call the game as a professional, but you have a coach's perspective. And I think not only a coach's perspective, but a player's and just a basketball dude from New York. Like, yo, man, that's not that. You can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, you have a. You have a spin on it that I don't think many people do have on games.
Well, I appreciate that, Greg. You know, you got the big thing is like anything else, like you coaching or when I coach or now, you got to be who you are. You know what I mean?
That's right.
That's kind of who I am, and I tell people all the time. It's like I feel like when I'm doing a game, it's like when I used to watch Phil with my assistants, and we're just talking about what's going on. Oh, that's terrible. That's
yes.
great.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of what we did.
Yes. It's funny, I've talked to people about this. I think this, Kenny, hear me out, that you have ESPN or CBS Sports X so that you can get it, and then you have broadcasters that can literally be uncensored. I mean, how great would that be? That you would be able to say, instead of saying, oh, that was a terrible rebound, you could add the expletives. I think I'd buy it without even, and then you could just talk about the referees.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are just tired of the, like, people got criticized, and I'm sure you've heard this, Steve, about the Zion watch. You know, like, just people talked about Zion, and they just pushed it down your throat, and people at home just didn't want to listen to the audio a lot.
Right.
And I think, I don't know, I think down the road, well, what's your take on the Zion watch and how it was handled? I know you work for CBS, so you have to be delicate, but what was your stance on Zion and how he was portrayed and how he was fed to us through the media?
I mean, he's a great player, and he's he's a different kind of player, and I think, right, whether he became a product of the media or the people's infatuation with him because he was so big and so agile, the ball handler, it's hard to say. And plus, he played for Duke. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to factor that in, too. You know what I mean?
No, exactly.
Either you love or you hate.
Yes.
And, you know, that's kind of how that all developed. But it was, be interesting to see what he does in the NBA and how good he's going to be right away.
Exactly. And how do you think he's going to be in the NBA? What's your personal thoughts?
I think he's going to be a great player, but I don't know if he's just going to walk in and be a superstar from day one. I don't know if he's going to be like LeBron was basically from the day he got there. I'm not sure about that.
I think LeBron has more game and the physical prowess that Zion does. I think Zion's game still needs to develop more. Is that a fair assessment?
Totally.
Yeah, it just seems to me that he is physically, Kenny, a freak.
A beast.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, this kid, I mean, he could play in the NFL without question. Can you imagine putting a bat in his hand? If you put a bat in his hand that he ever was, can he play baseball? Is there anything about this kid?
Can he hit a curveball? That's the question.
Oh, if he ever caught a hanging curveball,
knocking out of the stadium.
I mean, who would you compare him to physicality wise, Steve? You've seen him in person.
I don't know. You know what I mean? He's like Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah,
he's 6'7", 6'8", and he can handle a basketball.
No, he's Steve, he's 19 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, my son was watching, and he was like, I don't want to see. I said, no, I just want to see the kid play once live. I wanted to go. I'm going to Minneapolis, and I wanted to see him play live. And they got beat, and Michigan State beat him. Hopefully he comes. He's going to go to the Knicks, right? Or what's the other teams that could get?
Yeah, if the ball bounced their way, he could go to the Knicks for sure.
I mean, if the Knicks, it'd be like, I don't know, it'd be as big a buzz, but it'd be close to when the Knicks got Patrick.
Yeah, very close. Very close.
Steve, what was the last game? I know you did the Division II games, and you're a workaholic. What was the last game that you did this year? And when you were done, did you say, oh, my God, thank God, or I'm going to miss it till the next game? When was the last game that you did on television?
Well, I did the D2 championship game last Saturday.
Yes.
That was the last game that I did, and now I'm in the studio for the next 4 days in Minneapolis. When it ends, I like it. You know what I mean? It's time for it to end. I do love what I do, but when it ends, even when I coach, when the season ends, you never want the season. But when it ends, you're ready for it.
You know what? You're exactly right. And my season really hasn't even ended now because now, you come back and, we had a historic year. We won an NCAA tournament game. We won a conference championship. We won a regular season. And now there's still a lot of commitments, but they're all good. But this season to put to bed is just so hard because, as you said before, it was – and then you win 21 games. You won 15 out of 18, and you don't want it to, you want it to end, but you don't want it to ever die. And I don't think around here, Steve, it's still buzzing.
It should. I mean, you're talking about only 6 tournament appearances in the history of the school, and you had 2 there in the last 4 years. I mean, and you win a game this year, night in Dayton, that was spectacular, no doubt.
Hey, Steve, when is Greek Easter? When is
it? Greek Easter is April 28th.
Oh, it's late.
Yeah, late this year. Yes.
We're going to send you out with a little Greek music, a little Zambuca, kick your feet up. I know you'll be on the set. We'll be walking through Minneapolis, and we'll be looking for you and Coach Gillen and John Rothstein and Adam and the crew, man. I can't thank you enough for giving me one of my best assistants ever in Pete Lapis. And
I appreciate it.
And the absolute matriarch behind is your lovely wife, Harriet, and tell her we were asking for it. I thank you for coming on the Greg Herenda Show, and now you are the most recorded guest, and that award will be given out at the end of the year.
Thank you, Coach. I appreciate it.
But thanks again, Steve, and travel safe, and we'll see you
soon.
We'll
see you.
All right, buddy.
We'll see you there.
You got it. And we'll be back with more of the Greg Herenda Show after this.
This is Steve Lapis, the father of Pete Lapis, and you're listening to the Greg Herenda Show on WFDU.